Hallelujah. Well, let's turn to James chapter 2, everybody. Okay. Well, I'll use this. Sounds good. He's even got a bucky bag.
Bucky bag.
Emily's got a t-shirt, and it says Kentucky, and then it's got the... So I said, you've got a Kentucky bucky. So she's got a Kentucky bucky. You know, it's Bucky's, which is the cool gas station. You know, they got everything there. 5,000 toilets, and I mean, you know... Barbecue, all the beefs. I'm talking about food, and I'm getting hungry again. Sorry, guys. I don't want to do that. So, anyway, James chapter 2. We've been talking about working the word, haven't we? I'm gonna try to finish up things tonight. But working the word, and you know, being charismaniacs like we are, sometimes we can kind of get in the ditch, can't we? And just sometimes. You know, people will say things like, well, the word of faith stuff doesn't work. I mean, the Apostle Paul said, I preach the word of faith. But sometimes, you know, how can I say this? We get generalized. And you always have like these people groups sometimes that we marginalize people, right? Well, you know, you spirit-filled people, you're all like blah, 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 fill in the blanks. And sometimes we've kind of done it to ourselves. And we don't take the whole word into consideration. I've said this before, like, it's kind of a lot of preachers, you know, we're kind of the blame here, where over the years I've sat in a lot of preachers, a lot of ministers and everything too, and we've kind of let things go, and the world's taken up the business realm, the education realm, they've taken over everything, and we've let it go. Because, you know, when I was a kid, rapture's going to happen tomorrow, you know. I mean, I was like, you better get ready. You know, rapture's going to happen any day. Any little thing that happened, if, you know, my parents weren't around or somebody, they were gone, or I walked in and they were outside or something, I thought, oh, the rapture happened. And that's where our head was at, rather than we need to occupy. When Jesus went there in the end of Luke, by the way, if you read Luke wrote the book of Acts. So when you read Luke and you flow right into Acts, it fits, dovetails really nice. But when Jesus left the earth, he said, you know, occupy until I come back. What does that mean? You know, my grandfather, Adrian's grandfather, was in World War II. My grandfather was in World War II. My step-grandpa was in World War II. My great-uncle was in World War II, all these other things. And they were there to defeat the axis of evil, right? And when they did it, they came in, was the occupying force. That means that, you know, my grandfather and all that, they were there to defeat, you know, they were fighting the Germans. My grandfather was in North Africa. My great uncle was in Europe. And my step grandfather got captured by Nazi and was put in a Nazi concentration camp. But they went through all of that, and then eventually there was the occupying force. And we're the occupying force. What does that mean? We need to take over. We really need to take over. And we just haven't been doing a very good job. We need to do a better job. And I blame, you know, there's just some things as believers, and it doesn't mean that we're greedy or anything, but what it means is we need to take our stand in our place, and when we do the word, we can do that. We just kind of sometimes, you know, let the world take over in the business realm and everything else too, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, we're just kind of, well, you know, a lot of things of course, we definitely appreciate everybody giving. But you know what? That's not the only way to prosperity, right? And you'll hear a lot of churches say, well, all you got to do is give and give and give and give and give. I'm sorry, we need people in the business realm. We need people in the education. We need people in all of these places to do things. Because the Bible says he'll give us witty inventions, right? And he'll give us things. And so we're going to look at some scriptures, but James chapter 2, you know, everybody says, all I need is faith. Well, that's part of it, but it's not. But we look at James chapter 2, and this is kind of a recap, and I'm going to move on here. James chapter 2, and it says, we'll start in verse 17, in the same way faith also, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself, right? So we can sit there and say, well, I believe this, and I believe this, and it doesn't do us any good. That's religion. Skip down to verse 19. You believe that God is one. You do well. Here we go. The demons also believe and shudder. So what does that tell me? Faith doesn't, I mean, just having belief in something doesn't do the job. Because what's the most satanic thing around is, number one, believing something and never doing it. That's the, and then it says the demons believe and they shudder. What does that mean? They believe God exists, but they have no intentions of obeying him at all. Yeah. Well, I got faith, Pastor. Great. So, the devils do too. It's what we do and how we put action to things are what we're going to see results in. Now, it doesn't mean that, again, our works, but we're going to look at some other scriptures here in a moment. So, last few weeks we've been talking about this scripture. Again, simply having faith, or, well, I just believe those things and then everything's going to work out. That's not necessarily the case, right? We got to put action to some things. And then we looked at Acts chapter 4, verse 13, and we see Peter and John. You can look this up later because I'm just doing kind of recap here. It says they marveled because what? This is the Sanhedrin, the religious council in chapter 4, verse 13. They had Peter and John, and they had brought them before the religious council, and they said they were ignorant men, but they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that what? They had been with Jesus. Yeah. Big difference between the Pharisees and the apostles. Number one, the Pharisees had all the understanding and they did nothing. Right? Here we've got over here on the other hand, we've got the apostles who weren't educated people, but they've just been with Jesus and they're out doing stuff. They're just making things happen, right? How many people, well, I'm just preparing, I'm just doing this, I'm just doing this, and I'm just doing this. It's like, well, it's good to, you know, it's good to do things, but sometimes we gotta make things happen, right? And so faith without works is dead. Now, it doesn't mean that your works are we're going to make everything. What it means is this, is we're going to look at, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but there are some things that are very good to look at. But we see here that the apostles actually put legs to what they believed in. The Sanhedrin religious people, again, there was no action on their part, right? Mm-hmm. Christianity, and along with other religions, but you got to understand, one of the differences between Judaism or the Jews and the Christians are this. Jews do not go out and evangelize. They don't. They don't care. They just don't care, right? Christians do. Jews are, they have no motivation to get anybody in their persuasion, right? But Christians do. We are outreaching people. As Christians, one of the main goals for Christians is we want to spread the good news about Jesus Christ, right? Jews don't care. It's not that they don't care, necessarily care about people, but that's not their heritage. Again, you know, that's just not who they are. That's not what their doctrine is about. So there's very differences here. We see that, you know, basically, I mean, you think about it, when the Jews and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, the religious folks of that time period, when Jesus was alive, it was basically like we're kind of an excluded group, right? If you're not, you're an icky, yucky Gentile, which is this guy, right? And probably most of everybody in here, I have no Hebrew blood in my body, so I'm a Gentile. And I'm pretty much dirty to them, right? So really the whole thing is, you're dirty, you're yucky, we don't want to talk to you, we're kind of a secluded group. And they're kind of, you know, some of those sects of Hebrew, they're still like that a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And not to get off on that, but the point is, as Christians, we now want to reach out to people, and we're all now, the blood of Jesus has transcended every kind of ethnic background ever, right? So it doesn't matter, you know, where you're born or what your background is or your DNA or heritage, you know, you can be in the body of Christ. So again, it's a different mindset here. So we're reading things and we're seeing that Jesus is breaking through a Hebrew mindset of being very exclusive. And Christianity goes against the grain of that. And a lot of the Jews don't really think very highly of us. All right? They don't, obviously. And so they just have no motivation. They have a completely different mindset than we do. Even though we share the Old Testament or the Torah and much of the writings, and we believe it, obviously we split when Jesus came to the earth. So there's definitely differentiate there. So when you read the Bible, understand the differences between there's a because again, the Jews didn't believe that Gentiles could be redeemed. They just didn't believe it. And Jesus came and he opened it up for everybody, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the Jews? No, the world. He opened it up to all of us. So even this dirty old Gentile right here, this guy right here, can be saved. And there was no hope before. But Jesus opened that up for all of us. Hebrews 11:6, I'm going to kind of fly through these. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evident things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old, here we go, earned a good reputation. How do they earn a good reputation? Oh, we just read the Bible, we just said all these great things, and we just talked about things and everything too. No, they went out, and here's the big difference. They obeyed God. And being a doer of the word is not just, well, we're gonna read the word, and we're gonna confess things all day long, because that's where a lot of, you know, we're gonna do this, we're gonna confess things, we're just gonna, you know, talk about things. No, we're actually gonna do things, right? When the Lord leads us to do things, we want to obey him. We'll skip down to, and I'm kind of flying through here. James chapter 5, verse 13. James 5, verse 13. We can say that faith is a bunch of head knowledge unless it becomes manifest through us, right? Is that fair to say? It's all in our head unless we release it. Unless we actually, you know, we're doing something. And I'm not just talking about, you know, just preaching the word, but I'm talking about, you know, things in your heart to do, whether that's, like we talked about, start a business, you know, go back to school, whatever those things are, you know, unless you put action to those things, it's just never going to manifest anything. Well, healing, you know, well, I believe God can heal me. Well, really? Let's put some action to it, right? Jesus will look at people and say, get out of the wheel, you know, the lame man, get up and walk. Jesus, did you not see the condition I'm in, right? I can't walk. No, if you believe something, again, you're going to put action to it, no matter what it is in life. James chapter 5, verse 13, it says, are there any hardships among you? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with the oil in the name of the Lord. I'm going to stop there. So, again, one of the things, we can believe things, quote, quote. Another thing is say, we can say, well, just pray for me. Right? Other people too, you know, well, just, you know, pray for I get a job. Okay, we're going to pray for get a job. Now, are you looking for a job? Right? You know, oh, pray for me. I need a job. I need a job, right? People are like, well, I'm going to start a business. Okay, well, if you're going to start a business, then you probably should go get a checking account, business checking account. You should probably go check on health insurance. There's things you got to do to make things happen, right? But just pray for me. Just pray for me. No, the Bible talks about specifically when you pray, then there's action we need to take, right? Call on the elders of the church. They'll lay hands on you. They'll anoint you with oil and you'll be healed, right? No, it doesn't mean that we can't pray for you in the parking lot or at work, and we're not saying those things. There's definitely some things, but sometimes you can't get it on your own. Not to say you can't get it on your own, but sometimes the Bible is specific. He'll lead you to do things. You need other people. I'm going to just say this. Whether it's faith or in life, we need other people. That's it. We need other people, right? And let's go on here, and it says, and again, this is kind of a lot of its review, and this is verse 15, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. If you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Now, I want to stop here a moment. We're talking about working the word, and we need to take the Bible into full counsel. Now, I remember years ago, the dean of Rhema at the time, he was pastoring over here in Mount Pleasant, Iowa, and probably the early 80s. And anyway, He was talking about a lady in his church. There's a psalm, or I think a scripture in Psalms that it says he will save your foot, meaning you're almost like your footing, okay? And she took that scripture because she was had something happen to her leg or something, and stood on that scripture, and she was healed. Sometimes God will give you a scripture. The Holy Ghost will give you something to stand on, and that's what you want to do. But here, sometimes we're in prayer. Sometimes there are just things in our life we need to repent on. And again, you remember me talking about when Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day there in the Gospels. And then he said, get up, and he grabbed his bed, and he's walking along on the Sabbath day, and the Sanhedrin, or the religious council, came to him and says, why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath day? And he goes, well, this guy that healed me told me to do it. And they said, well, who was it? He said, well, I don't know. Then later, he came back, and Jesus said, specifically said that he was already healed, right? Jesus healed him, but he said, go and sin no more, what? Lest a worse thing come upon you. We see here the Apostle Paul, I'm sorry, James, Apostle James is writing, and he says, you know what? If you need healing, sometimes you need to check if you're in sin or you need to repent of something, right? I know this is really popular, isn't it? I mean, you guys can run if you want to. I know you're excited. But the point is, if we're going to do the word, we got to examine ourselves in light of things. Brother Hagin would often talk about some of these things where he would say things like, well, he'd ask people when he'd pray for him or something, he says, well, will you do something for me? And they'd say, is it hard? Right? Is it hard? I need help. I need help now, right? I'll just do whatever I need. Is it hard? So when we're working the word again, it is something that we're going to examine the word in itself. We're not just going to meditate, or not just, the word is important. I'm not saying the word isn't important, but it's taking the word and doing it, putting action to it. And then Joshua 1:8, we said here, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night. Here we go. Now everybody stops there, okay? It's kind of like people will say things like, resist the devil and he'll flee. No, it doesn't. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, then he'll flee, right? We just want to take the portion that just feels good, right? I'm going to tell the devil to take a hike, right? No, you can, but it specifically says, submit to God, then resist the devil, and then he'll flee from you, right? So sometimes we're not submitting to God, right? We're not resisting the devil, and then we have no ground to tell him to flee. See, when we see a scripture, always look at what's above and below it. I always got in that because it'll put things in context and it'll just be wonderful. But we just want to take one scripture and we want to say, I'm going to resist the devil, and the devil's under my feet, but he's laughing at you the whole time. Because to have faith, we're going to submit to God. What did we just read there in James that the demons do? They believe in what? Shudder. Because they believe, but they have no intention on doing anything the Word has to say. That's demonic. That's the epitome of the devil. He knows everything that should be done, and his heart, he's rebellious, and Jesus said he's a murderer from the beginning. So there's no good in him. What is good is just simply obeying God. That's it. I mean, just doing, obeying. And again, let's look at a few scriptures here. James 1:2-8, we talked about this also. So taking the word in his counsel, not just believing things, but actually, pursuing God, like Mr. Gary just talked about. But taking the Bible and the whole counsel, right? Yes. And I'm going to talk while you're there. Remember, and we talked about this. Just stay right there in James chapter 1. But I'm going to read a few scriptures here if you want to write these down. Luke 6:38. Now we talked about this before, and it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give it into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again." What is that saying? That is, I completely agree with that scripture. But we've taken it to the extreme in too many churches and say, and it's all about, you will only prosper if you give until it hurts, right? And I completely agree that sowing and reaping, it is a biblical concept. I believe in tithes and offerings and, you know, something that I personally practice. But we can't just rest on one and say, this is the only way we're going to be prosperous. It's completely unbiblical, right? It's one portion of it, one part of it. But here we go. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We could definitely take that scripture, and I absolutely believe it. But then we look at verse 11. It says, not that I speak in respect of want. Here we go. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, I'm going to be content. So the Apostle Paul is sitting here saying, he's going to supply your needs. But guess what? Right before that, he goes, you know what? I'm content no matter what. And being content, that is a person of faith, right? Because what you're saying is God is good. God is good. And I've laughed about this so much we've talked about, Joseph, you know, when he got thrown into prison. And I remember reading there, it was a few months ago, I was studying in, my personal study was in Genesis, and I came across how, now granted, Joseph probably at this time had been in prison for a couple years now, right? And he, the baker and the butler were in there, and they had dreams, and he was interpreting the dreams. And anyway, the funny thing was they were in prison. And Joseph's been there probably a lot longer than they were. And he says, why the long face? I'm like, dude, you're in prison. I'm thinking to myself, what? He's saying, why do you have a long? And I just gave him the revelation. I'm thinking, this guy really was content in every situation. Isn't that interesting? He's in prison. We see Paul and Silas are singing at midnight in prison. And so, you know, we are, you know, modern day church and all of the charismaniacs out there would say that, and when I was at Rhema, one time we were listening to this guy, and I remember I was working there at Rhema at the warehouse there. It was like my first year at Rhema, and I was working in the warehouse, and we were all laughing about this guy, this preacher, and he said, you don't have faith unless you're driving a Rolls Royce. And I'm thinking, let's see, that means Paul would have been completely, you know, would not have been in faith, right? That means that Joseph was wrecked and in prison for a long time. That means half the people in the Bible were completely out of faith, right? Well, first of all, they didn't have Rolls Royces back then. Right. John the Baptist, hey, like, you know, bugs and honey, right? I mean, basically, let's just... So these people weren't riding high and high rollers, were they? And again, we got to come back to... But we're basing... We are, you know, we think that we're in these situations and we're thinking that, you know, oh, everything's terrible or I must not have faith. Now, sometimes you do it to yourself, right? That's the problem. Many people, they do dumb things and they get in trouble. God can give you mercy. He can get you out of those things, right? But we can't base our faith off of, you know, we see people in the Bible that were destitute. We see Elijah. We got ravens bringing food to him. And he can snap his fingers and say it, but he's waiting and there's a drought. Right? And then boom, things turn around. There's a drought. That's why Joseph came and God eventually brought him to Egypt and he had administrative gift on him because there was a famine coming. Now, if they're such great people, why didn't Joseph say, oh, wait a minute here. Well, we can't have any famine here because I'm a faith man. We're just going to believe, right? We're going to have 7 years of good, and we're going to have another 7 years of, I rebuke that. I mean, you hear most ministers, they're like, I rebuke that. I couldn't rebuke COVID. I'm sorry. I tried, but it just didn't work, right? Philippians 4:7 and 8. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, here we go, shall keep your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. The peace of God. Not when times are good, Not when the job's going great and everything's wonderful and everything's awesome and everything's good. No, we're going to be happy with or without, right? Ever notice? I know nobody's noticed, but like the cost of goods and services have like increased lately, you know? I'm probably the only one, and nobody else in this room has noticed any of that, right? Yeah. You notice how a lot of people aren't getting raises, but the cost of everything else is going higher, right? The cost of housing, the cost, everything is increasing. I'm still going to have joy, right? Because I'm still breathing, right? I'm not homeless. Amen? We talk about it all the time. I'm like, thank God we have a home to live in, no matter what we're at, right? Thank God we've got a place to go. And so we can look at, yes, everything doesn't look that great, doesn't look, you know, things are look just, oh, what are you gonna do? And then you think about your kids moving forward, like, oh, what are the next generation come along? And I'm sure the generation before us probably thought the same thing about us, right? What are they gonna do? How are they gonna make it? And you know what, we made it. And you know what? The next generation is gonna make it too, right? Because when the tough get going, strong people manifest and rise to the top. And so, interesting thing here is, and then James 1:2, we were there. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. That's a dirty word, patience, isn't it? It's awful. But let patience have perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's interesting. The Word of God talks about we need to have patience and let it work through us so that we want nothing. Can I just say something here really quick too? You know, too many times people, you know, these ministers and people, and I love a lot of these ministers, I don't want to say, but too many, they're rebuking the process of patience being worked in us. And I was really, I've been reading all kinds of books and just lately just reading all kinds of stuff. And it was interesting, this guy talking about business, and he has this business and everything, and he says, you know, it just struck me. He says, if everything works perfect in business, then I wouldn't develop. If I didn't have a challenge to work through, I'd never grow. I'm thinking, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. How, you know, we want everything, and it's all, again, we're living our life, everything's comfort. We want everything comfortable. We want everything just to go sail, just be so wonderful. And of course, you know, we don't want everything to go wrong, but I'm saying that sometimes when challenges in life come along, if we have the understanding, you step back and go, okay, God, where do I go next? And how can I grow and develop out of this? But this is a very powerful scripture. And it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives men liberally to all men and breatheth not, and shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like somebody that's tossed to and fro. For don't let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Here we go. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I know it's very difficult and it hurts our flesh sometimes when things don't go wrong. But you know what? Some of the things that I've learned the most are things that went wrong. I remember I was in Minneapolis and I was at a conference and I was doing things for work, and the company I was working for at that time sent me up there. So I'm downtown Minneapolis, and I get a call from Adrian. Oh, like, what happened? What happened? Emily, she put her hand on the stove, and you know, all upset and everything. No, she wasn't. Both hands on the stove, right? So guess what? We didn't do that again. We learned our lesson that day, didn't we? It's like hot, hot, hot. That hurts, right? I've had some mishaps in my life, like some things that kind of like business things or different things in the past that have gone wrong. You know what? I learned from that, and like, I don't do that anymore. Cost me some money. Didn't feel good. But you know what? I learned a huge lesson. Didn't make it again. And guess what? I'm never going to make it again. Oh, by the way, the disciples, if you haven't noticed in the book of Acts and everything, they never became the apostles. They didn't have all the answers either. And in fact, they thought Jews were the only one that could get saved. Until God had to reveal things to Peter in a dream by a sheet coming down on animals, and he said, "What you've called unclean, I call clean." So you think, I'm just telling you right now, you think that God is always going to give you this painted, you know, we talk about being led by the Spirit. We just talked about this the other day, you know, about doing the Word. I'm going to read a scripture to you. We're going to close up here because we're getting too far. And I know that you're all probably ready to go home, right? Because this is all boring stuff. but I want to find a scripture here really quick But we were just talking about this, and you see, we, and I apologize if we talk about being led by the Spirit, that we're going to be glossy-eyed and we're just bumping into things and we don't use our head or anything else too. You got to realize in the scripture, okay, when you read the scripture, very, very important, and it's going to help you and help me having this revelation. It's Old Testament or New Testament, whatever that is. They did not have all the answer. They did not have everything. Jesus did not have everything. The Bible says that he discovered himself in the scriptures. This life that we're going through, when you're led by the Spirit, you don't have all the answers. So when I talk about, you know, being led by the Spirit, what it means is this: when I go through life and the Lord will lead me in things, I'll do something and I'll have an inside like, this is wrong, I'll drop it. That's what I've been doing lately. I mean, I'm doing different things and I'm working on some other things. And I'm pursuing other things for business aspects, and I'm talking to people. I'm like, because it's very important, because God's not always going to say, paint this big picture for you in life, right? You need to go down this road, and you need to do this, you need to do that. But when you're leading, years ago, he's leading me to do things, and while he's leading you to do things, you're going to walk down a path, and you go, this isn't right. I'm going to go over here. Then you go, this is right. That's being led by the Spirit, right? This whole Brother Hagin that Jesus is going to appear to you and everything, I mean, that happens very rarely. If ever, you'll probably never have Jesus actually appear to you, okay? I'm just saying. If he does, that means something's coming, right? Like, there's something that really needs to be done. Brother Hagin said, the only time you're, like, those things, because the Lord needed to get something across and warn him, or there was something, a teaching, or God needed to reveal something to him for the whole body. It was very important. And it doesn't mean that Jesus can't appear to you. It doesn't mean that. It just means when you're expecting it, but being led by the Spirit, when you put things in context, what it really means to be led by the Spirit is this. Let me read the scripture. This will make sense. Luke 1:37. Are you guys getting anything out of this tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm hoping this will turn some lights on for you, because I think there's too many things. We've got misunderstandings of the body of Christ. We're going to be led by the Spirit, and God's just going to paint something in the sky. Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Now, we read this, and we think that nothing's impossible for God. But look at it in context. It says, for what? What's the next word? Somebody say it. With. I think this is something we miss. When you see scripture, the Mark 16, 15 through 20, verse 20, it says, and the Lord working for the scripture. Now say it. With,
yep.
We're missing it. I'm telling you right now, we're missing it.
Yep.
If your mind isn't blown tonight, I don't know, we'll lay hands on you. But I am telling you, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Did you know that Mary had to agree to the deal? Oh, let me tell you something about somebody who didn't agree, and everything almost got sideways. Was Zacchaeus and Elizabeth.
Right.
He laughed, and then he wasn't able to talk until after the baby was born.
Right.
Why? Because it's very important that we work with God. John the Baptist was prophesied in the book of Isaiah and other places that he was going to be a forerunner for Jesus. John the Baptist had to be here to prepare the way. Well, you know, God just does whatever he wants to. You know, Jesus is going to be born. Mary had to agree with it. Joseph had to get on board, okay? Had to shut the mouth of Zachariah. He had to shut his mouth. So we have to work with God. God just doesn't show up and does what he wants to, right? And we're through with this life. It's not going to be something where we're just going to be like glossy-eyed and bounce all over. I'm going to be led by the Spirit. Everything's going to work out. The Bible says you're working out your salvation. What it means is this: you're led to do things. God will lead you to do things. And you're going to have a red light or a green light on the inside about what to do. And we're just over-spiritualizing things too many times. Because just like Kenneth Hagin said, my pastor, Kenneth Hagin, he says, when the natural and supernatural come together, it's a powerful force. Right? I mean, we miss the mark so much in the body of Christ because we're just doing dumb things. And I talking about myself, too many times we just expect, I'm going to put money in the bucket and everything's going to be wonderful. Well, no, you pay your tithes and offerings. Yes, the blessings will open up for you, but he's going to give you revelation on other things to help you. And you're led to do things, right? I remember I did a business deal one time years ago, and I was sitting down near the paperwork on the inside. I just had an awful feeling it was wrong, and I paid for it. And I knew better when I was in there signing. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway. And I didn't listen. And I'm like, that's never going to happen again. Right. I learned my lesson. You know what? I'm glad I learned my lesson because I won't do that again. Now I know what it's like. Now, see, and the thing of it is, I gauge the things that I'm doing and I'm pursuing in the future and with everything with that same thing. Brother Hagin talks about the velvety feeling on the inside. About things that just, I feel like a wreck on the inside. I'm like, I am not doing this at all. We're just, no. Other things I feel real like yes, I'm led. This is something I need to do. But too many people, just like demons do, they believe and they do nothing, right? The Lord's given me a vision about doing things and some other things too years ago, and now I'm getting revelation on it. That he opened up my eyes on certain things years ago that now I'm just starting to act on. So part of it is timing, and part of it is just being led by the Spirit. Again, we need to talk more about being led by the Spirit because it doesn't mean, again, that everything's pain in the sky and it's just like, I don't know, you know. Read the Bible and you see these people in the Bible just had something God told. I mean, come on, he told Abraham, just go. Just go to her. Just go. Oh, by the way, take your son and sacrifice him. And you know what? Abraham didn't have, he didn't know there was going to be a ram over here. There was going to be able to the sacrifice. He just like, I don't know, something's going to happen. God's going to provide. I don't know what's going to happen. Am I boring you tonight? Are you all bored? Genesis 2:15, and it says, and the Lord took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. As we close tonight.
I got to interrupt you.
Yes, go ahead. Okay.
No, you finish.
Well, let me just make this statement here, and it says, the Lord provides the resources, anointings, giftings, and abilities, but we provide the supply. Mm-hmm. See, and I always like to say too, you know, when I was at Rhema, you think about things, there's a God side and there's a man side. Too many times, religion, we're trying to do God's side rather than stay in your lane. Let God do his thing. Again, working with us while we're pursuing what he calls us to do. No matter what it is. I mean, I'm not talking about ministry like, you know, oh, I got to go to Africa and I got to, you know, jump out of an airplane in the middle of Africa and Uganda and, you know, I'm just going to be led by the Spirit. What I'm saying is whatever it is in your life that you're doing, pursuing that he gives the resources like we see here. I don't see angels swinging hammers and building stuff or anything else too. But what did he give man? He gave man wood, resources, oil, right? Everybody thinks that oil is really bad. Well, God put it there because he knew someday we'd need it. Right? These are not bad resources, but God put I'm just saying this. God, I was reading years ago, we have only used not even 1% of the world's resources. And it's our mindset as believers.
I barely set my phone out, but I set my phone out and it's blowing up because they said there was shots fired at Trump in Pennsylvania, and now I'm getting all these pop-ups. Apparently he's alive because then the next thing was Elon Musk endorses Trump after the assassination attempt. But anyway, we need to pray.
Okay.
We gotta pray. a yeah. rally and there were shots yeah. fired.
We'll definitely pray. And that's something too where, yeah, we need to, I'm going to read that scripture in Timothy before we pray real quick. About, you know, praying for those in authority. But I'm going to read First Timothy 2:1-3, and it says, I exhort therefore that the first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Father, as we close tonight, I pray for President Trump. Lord, I pray that first of all, you're guarding your angels around him right now, that he is protected in the name of Jesus. Thank you that your anointing is upon him, Lord. And Father, we thank you that the whoever the perpetrators are will be caught and punished, Lord Jesus, and that they would repent. But Lord, we also lift up the election, God, in the name of Jesus, that Father, we thank you that your will be done in the election, Lord God, that your will be done in this election, Lord Jesus. We pray for just transparency, clarity, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that any kind of evil attempt to, you know, upset the election, any potential fraudulent activity, Lord God, that it would be exposed and dealt with, Lord. But we continue to pray. Father, we pray for our nation tonight, that there is stability in our nation, Lord God. Everything. We pray for the financial sector, Lord Jesus, Lord God, that people would not, that there would be prosperity in the nation, Lord Jesus. We also pray just for, first of all, godliness to be come back into this nation, Lord God. We thank you that there are other states, Lord God, that are joining in, beginning to require biblical teachings, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, right now that this is a floodgate of your word and your spirit to come back into our school system, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, God, that you're coming back into our nation. Lord, we welcome you back into our nation, our school systems, and our churches, Lord God. In every area of life, Father, we thank you for an awakening, Lord God, a revival in the United States and around the world, Lord God, that your love would be outpoured upon this nation, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that there would that the wealth of the wicked be laid up for the righteous. We thank you that there is a transfer of wealth from the wicked to the righteous hands, like you said in your word in the end days, Lord God, that there would be finances to be able to propagate the gospel and to spread your good news, Lord God. We thank you for funds in this church and other churches, Lord God, and other organizations that are spreading the good news. Father, we just come before you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody. If you need prayer for anything, we want to pray for you as well afterwards. So, amen. Be blessed.